Hello, everyone. On today's show, thousands of gas stations running out of gas. When will this nightmare end? Virginia declaring a state of emergency. So we'll go over the latest. We're going to hear from the Secretary of Energy on this issue. Wall Street panics as stock markets have their biggest loss since February. It was what's known as a whipsaw. Back and forth, back and forth. So we'll do a little education on what a whipsaw is today. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of Wall Street. So it was kind of entertaining to watch all of them go through a little panic mode yesterday, all the suits on Wall Street. And inflation numbers out. We have this new inflation number, which is just hitting right now. So we'll bring the very latest on inflation and where the value of the U.S. dollar is plummeting to. We're going to see where you should be putting your money and where a lot of smart investors are putting their money. So all of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now. So we got a lot of news to get to here on the show today. We are going to be talking about this new inflation numbers in just a moment, which just came out. It's not good. It's not good. But hey, let's check the markets first, because yesterday was just a real crapper of a day. Dow is down 200 points already this morning on the futures market because of this inflation news. But boy, everything took a bath yesterday. It was known really what's called a whipsaw. So this is where the financial education comes in here. A whipsaw. A whipsaw is basically, the back and forth. You ever see one of those whipsaws where, like back in the olden times, where one guy would stand on one side of the log and cut back and forth, like one of these old things? This is a whipsaw back in the day. You know, you like in a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Like, I'm going to be here, you're going to be here. So that's kind of what happened yesterday, the whipsaw. And there's really no explanation for like why this happened. This sort of back and forth. Everything was crapping yesterday. We could say it's because of these gas prices. We could say it's fears over inflation, but it was back and forth. The NASDAQ almost broke. It bent, but it didn't break. But there, a lot of people lost a lot of money yesterday. Tech is down. Dow Jones right now, futures market down about 120 points. NASDAQ also down 187 points this morning. S&P 500 also down. So this is the lowest point we've been. This is the lowest point since February. The Dow took a nosedive yesterday at the big problems for the Dow. The futures market shows inflation right now running hotter than expected. So these inflation numbers just came out moments ago. Folks, again, this is where you need to protect yourself, okay, against this U.S. dollar plummeting. I mean, this is what we're talking about. If you've got your money in the U.S. dollar, I've been telling you about this for weeks now. If you've got money in a savings account just sitting there, this is where you get screwed. Remember, if you had $100 that you put in a savings account back in the year 2000, that same $100 is worth about $73 now in the year 2021 because of government inflation. And it's just about to get really bad. And I think that's why we're seeing some of these big declines on Wall Street. 200 points when we've got Dow futures decline early. Inflation accelerated at its fastest pace since 2008 last month, with consumer price index spiking 4.2%. By the way, folks, do you know what happened in 2008? Who here can tell me in the chat what happened in 2008?
Wasn't there a crash?
Ah, bingo. There was a crash. It was a big crash.
And all the big guys got bailed out, and the people got
exactly
stuck holding the bill.
Exactly. So when you look at a store of value right now, like where do you put your money? Well, I wouldn't, do you want it sitting in paper assets? You know how I feel about that. Or do you want it in people's currency? Look at Ethereum continuing to climb this morning. Solidly now over 4,200. Just think about the money that could have been made if you put $1,000, you bought like $1,000 of Ethereum. I mean, just a short time ago. Let's take a look at the full featured chart of Ethereum. Look at that. That's a parabolic move, folks. That is a beautiful parabolic move right here. Parabolic, like the big parabolic microphones, that's a parabolic swing right now for Ethereum. And Mark Cuban saying he thinks it's going to $100,000. So when you look at the U.S. dollar and you see what's happening with the U.S. dollar, fastest pace of decline in inflation since 2008, spiking 4.2% from a year ago. The monthly gain was 0.8 versus expected 0.2%. We have everything. And by the way, excluding food and energy prices. Think about that. That's where I've been talking with you guys routinely, is how much does it cost to buy beef? How much does it cost to buy, you know, apples and bananas, etc. Excluding volatile food and energy prices, the core CPI increased 3%. That's excluding that. Not good. Let's look at Bitcoin. Bitcoin hovering around that 56, 57,000. Really, I think we're going to see some movement here on Bitcoin. Let's take a look at this chart on Bitcoin right now. So I'm going to give you some what I see as a possible retest moment here on Bitcoin. So here's where we got this ascending triangle. This is a bearish pattern for Bitcoin. Look for this to, unless bulls can come in here and really support this level, this is not good for Bitcoin. So we could see some declines here, significant declines on Bitcoin. Be careful. Keep your eye on this. Set your stop losses if you're worried about it. You know, for me, you know, again, if you listen to Michael Saylor, you buy Bitcoin and you hold it forever. So if you're someone who wants to take profits, you know, and this is the type of investor you are, be careful. Pay attention to these stop losses. Set some alerts. You know, I'm using TradingView. So if this starts to plummet anymore, this kind of continues this pattern down here, I'm going to be setting some alerts right now just to kind of monitor this over the next, throughout the show. This is TradingView that I use to set these alerts. It works great on your smartphone as well. You can get it on your watch, etc. So you never miss a trade and you never miss these alerts. What about Shiba? I know a lot of you were wondering, were you going to buy Shiba yesterday? Shiba coin, Shiba token. I made some good money on Shiba yesterday, but it's dropped significantly, and I got stopped out of this yesterday. So Shiba token, which people are saying, hey, is that the next Doge? Hovering around 2, but you got to watch out for these meme coins again. And I warned people last night in our trading channel on Telegram, by the way. I was tracking this, and last night I said, you know, be careful here because, you know, this right now it was a perfect pattern to study. It was perfect triangle pattern, and it was either going to break out or it was going to plummet. And sure enough, it was dropping, and I posted in the Telegram group. Guys, if you're in this, watch this. It's about to move one way or the other. And so hopefully some of you took action on that. You can go to our Telegram group if you want to get, you know, follow some of the trades that we're making here, with things that I'm watching in the markets up to the minute. You know, it's harder when you're trying to produce a YouTube video. It can take hours sometimes, but with a Telegram thing, I can make a quick post. So go to morninginvest.com/Telegram and join our Telegram group so you'll get some of that up to the minute information. Let's see what else. I want to see a look at these other charts here. Did you buy any Shiba yesterday?
I did not. I've not purchased anything. I'm still in the process of figuring out which app I'm going to use. It's so confusing because there's like 10 different apps. You got to buy Shiba here. You got to buy Ethereum over here. And I don't know what I can buy on Binance or Webull or anything. So I have to wait till I understand that a little more.
Yeah, well, set up your, you know, I say set up your Bybit account, and at least there you can get the main trading pairs. If you go to morninginvest.com/coin, set up your Bybit account, you'll get 16. So let me explain this. You get $1,610 up to $1,610 when you make a deposit. It's the largest deposit bonus of any of these exchanges, but it's tiered. So you can click on their promotions page. You'll see, like, when you put in $150, you get a certain bonus. So all the way up to, I believe it might be 2 Bitcoin deposit amount in there, they'll give you these bonuses. And they're also providing all sorts of additional bonuses as well. So go and read there, but it's morninginvest.com/coin is the exchange that I think is really fantastic. They've got great alerts. They've got a really easy interface to use, by the way.
Well, I think my problem also is I don't use VPN. So I'll have to start using a VPN And I'm wondering if I could just use it on my phone and not on my, my computer.
Oh yeah, you can use a VPN on your phone.
And or still do Bybit.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It just it works the same way. Yeah. So look at Doge in fourth place right now. This is the coin market cap charts. Cardano looks like it's going to break out. XRP is still waiting on this court case. Let's see where if Shiba dropped down here. Here's VeChain. Ethereum Classic. Here's Shiba holding strong at 20, down 12% after spiking 1500%. So some that's the top of the charts here, and Aave up nice as well. Let's see if we could see that and Cosmos hanging out 15% as well. So that's that. Let's take a look at the gold market yesterday. Here's where we are this morning. Gold up again. Look, and here's an example, right? Folks, if you're understanding what's going on, is that this is going on, right? This is happening. Inflation running hotter than expected, according to the data that just came out a few minutes ago. So it's no wonder that gold is up. Significant up. Silver up. Look at those spikes. Store of value. You're going to see a lot more people moving into precious metals because of this. So get ready for gold to start spiking when these inflation numbers, you know, come home to roost. And we're already seeing it in the markets this morning. So pay close attention to what's happening there. Again, the Dow, see the Dow right now down about 200 points this morning, all because of what's going on with inflation numbers. So that's the markets. I want to talk about gas prices now. We saw some major issues with gas overnight. Big concerns about where these gas stations are going to get this gas from. Right now we have more than 1,000 gas stations running out of fuel. People, and they're basically putting up bags all over these gas stations saying, hey, you know, we don't have gas. They're putting up signs that say we don't have any gas here, or they're putting up zeros on their signs. A state of Virginia now issuing a state of emergency as well.
I went to get
Jennifer Granholm.
Are you
being affected up there?
Yeah, I went to get gas last night for Jennifer's car. I was like, hey, I think something's going to go on. We should go get gas. I went. There weren't many lines, but there was a big tanker there filling up the gas things at that gas station at the time I was there. So I'm wondering if, you know, that's like the last one they're gonna get. So maybe my gas station will be, but it did go up to 3.19 when I was there. So from 2 something.
Yeah, $3 a gallon. Let me know in the chat, what are you guys seeing in gas prices where you guys are? Curious, you guys let me know where you guys see gas prices going in your neck of the woods. Katie B. Marshall says, Clayton, I have XRP with Coinbase. I can't purchase more there. Where can I buy XRP? You can buy that on Binance. That's where I've got mine. But yeah, these prices, Lisa Pettit says $3.19 for gas where she is. Crystal Dragon, $2.88. Crystal, where do you live? Jeffrey Ramirez, $3.15. Lisa Pettit, yeah, $3.19. Robert Menendez, $3 in Wilmington. Yosoy Voltron is in Rockville, Maryland. Don't go back to Rockville. One of my favorite REM songs. Still holding at $2.89. H. Marie Brown, $4. $4, where are you? Oh, in South Carolina? Jeez. Wow.
$3.89 for Brenda McNair.
Elizabeth Foster, thank you for your super chat. A gallon only premium is left. That's it.
Annie says she's like, just south of me and it's $3.49. So $3.19 at my place is still cheap.
Shirley Bland, over $4. Boise, Idaho, Andrea Morrison, $3.25 in Boise. Alexandra Gallo in Los Angeles, $4.25. Wow.
Jeez.
Wow. $3.75 in Tampa. John Marshall says, I'm in Oregon. Gas has gone from $2.98 to $3.09. Art Sullivan says, $5.50. Where are you, Art? In Hawaii? I mean, Sab Dez, yes, you do need a VPN for Binance.
And for Bit.
So here's
Bybit.
Jennifer. And for Bybit, yeah. So Jennifer Granholm, Energy Secretary, speaking about this whole gas situation. Take a listen to Jennifer Granholm yesterday.
Acknowledge the possibility of a supply crunch. Can you give us a bit more of a reality check here? What kinds of shortages should Americans be bracing for? What kind of disruption on gas prices can Americans expect?
First, let me just be really clear. The crunch is in the areas that are affected by the pipeline, the main spurs of the pipeline. So that really is the Southeast. About 70% of the supplies of North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Georgia, and especially Southern Virginia are impacted the most. And so those are the areas that we have the greatest concerns with. And because of the fact that there's not a whole lot of other supply. Now, this particular pipeline also supplies other states, but there are other pipelines that supply other states as well, so there's more diversity. In this particular region, that's where we're going to see the crunch, and this is why we know that we have gasoline, we just have to get it to the right places. And that's why these next couple of days, I think, will be challenging, and we want to encourage people. It's not that we have a gasoline shortage, it's that we have this supply crunch, and that things will be back to normal soon, and that we're asking people not to hoard and know that we are all over this.
Thanks.
So don't hoard.
Yeah. I'm going to go to the gas station and all the gas shelves are going to be empty, like toilet paper.
Exactly. Don't hoard. You know, it's a little hard to say that to people when you don't, you know, when you don't really have guidance right now. Like, we don't know what's going on. Don't hoard. Well, what if I have to travel for work? You know, if don't hoard gas. Okay, but how, if I have to put food on the table, it's always convenient for these people that, you know, sit in these high positions to not hoard. But, you know, what if I have to travel for work? What if that's my lifeline right now to provide for my family? And you're telling me that we might not have gas and I literally will be out of work. I can't go to work because I have no gas. What's going to happen? Do you think the government would step in and take care of my wages? We know how that's going, right? So no, don't hoard. Thanks for that.
Yeah. I don't know. That just, they're so disconnected. Like, they probably don't even drive to work themselves. They probably have drivers and all the other stuff that pick them up and take them. They're just so disconnected from reality.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of them, like, you know, if you're in DC, I was talking to a friend of mine who works at the Pentagon, and he, you know, takes a train right there. Like, they don't drive. Take a train right to the Pentagon. So all those, you know, take infrastructure. Well, you know, it's good that DC has good infrastructure and good public transportation. But if you're outside of the Beltway, you don't have any of that. You know, we see how many routes have been cut. We see how many train routes have been cut because of the pandemic and bus routes. A lot more has been cut. Just posting this over.
It's like, what the heck are people going to do? Fill up their old Starbucks cups and have them in their car? Like, most people don't carry around gas canisters. So what's the shortage going to be? Gas containers now?
Right. Yeah. Okay, so we just got an alert on Bitcoin. I was worried this was going to happen. I've been setting some alerts here on BTC dropping. You know, they're, yeah. So I just set an alert here. We just got it. So this is now crossing. BTC is crossing that 56 range here. Dropping. So what I think is happening here is, and you know, some people are saying we could be in on pace for a big correction here. You know, this is a get, you know, continuing to drop, and some analysts are saying, are we in for a big crypto correction across the crypto market in general? It's weird to see. I mean, you see Ethereum still popping up nice. Ethereum is still going strong, but Bitcoin dropping. So what this analyst is saying, Ben Otanabia from Vanda Research, says that the surge in cryptocurrency prices this year is reminiscent of what we saw in 2017. A crypto correction in the market appears to be brewing, he says. He says the firm's partner and senior strategist explained that in 2017, the Bitcoin price rise was followed by a correction and a jump in interest in lesser-known cryptocurrencies. He's added that a broader correction in crypto markets appears to be brewing. So, you know, people are maybe jumping out. And this is what we saw yesterday when people, when we saw that little crash of Bitcoin and then bounced back. A lot of people jumped out of it and they didn't go to Ethereum. They jumped into lesser known altcoins. So people jumping into other things as well yesterday. So are we in the moment right now where we're going to see a big correction coming in the cryptocurrency space? And I think we're going to see it. I think, you know, if we didn't already start to see a correction in Bitcoin, we were going to have trouble. Like if by June or late June, we didn't see Bitcoin, if we still saw it hovering around 60,000, something's probably wrong with this market. So I think we were definitely going to have a pullback, and I think we may be starting to see that with Bitcoin. So again, if you're heavy into Bitcoin, watch it. Be careful. Set your numbers where you're safe on maybe, you know, on maybe whether you want to get in and move to other things right now. You want to move into other assets that are going to be protected. But again, Bitcoin crossing these lines now. And interesting. That's what one analyst is saying. But we're looking at these Dow futures right now because all eyes on this inflation number. And it continue, the fallout continues this morning across all of these major markets. And the price of things continues to skyrocket. I'm telling you, what's so weird about these numbers, though, is that it does not include, you know, it does not include food prices. Like that's, you know, food prices and also energy prices. It excludes volatile food and energy prices in these numbers. But that's where the real pain is being felt by so many of you right now. And we just got also this news. We knew this was coming, folks. And the future of the GOP is right now in full focus as Liz Cheney has just been expelled from the leadership position. You know why she was expelled? Because she said that Trump lost the election. So she gets expelled from her leadership position because she also... She believed that he fomented what was happening on January 6th at the Capitol. Former House Speaker Eric Cantor speaking out about that this morning. He says, you know, absolutely, the Republican Party is in a moment. It's really going to decide the future of this party right now. Like, are you going to be in the camp that's still supporting Donald Trump? Or are you going to be in the camp that's going to try to distance themselves from that? And go back to, like, I don't know, fiscal conservative roots or something. But right now, this seems to be the future of the party. Getting rid of Liz Cheney as her leadership role and replace her with pro-Trump Elise Stefanik. And, of course, she has bashed Trump for spreading the lie that the 2020 election was rigged against him. There you go. And by the way, so did Mitch McConnell. You know? Mitch McConnell was also said the same things that she said, but he's the leader of the party in the Senate. Guess it doesn't work in this. It doesn't work when you're from Wyoming, right? And all of your Wyoming constituents are like, yeah, we still think Trump won. Okay. Interesting news on that front.
I'd love to see both parties just crash and burn. Let's just start with some new parties.
Well, they're going to, I mean, because we get the hypocrisy on both sides, right? And So, like, Democrats have a moment right now. Democrats are in a moment. Like, can they actually move this massive infrastructure stimulus through? So let's talk about that. This massive stimulus package we'll get to in a second. We're going to talk about the tax increases. We'll get there in a second. But I want to tell you about it first to our friends over at Policy Genius. You know, so many of you asked me, we get this question a lot in the show, which is, how do I find the right insurance for my needs? How do I save money on insurance? Clayton, what do you recommend? And when it doesn't really matter, you know, summer's quickly approaching and you don't have to have this like to-do list of like getting new car insurance or new life insurance or any of that. And with Policy Genius, what's great about Policy Genius, you get life, homeowners, renters, auto insurance, disability, pet insurance, health insurance, and more all in one place. And you can save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. They basically compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare your policies. So all you need to do is just go to policygenius.com, and in minutes you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. Policy Genius never sells your information to other companies, and they don't add on extra fees. So head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Our thanks to Policy Genius for their support of the show. All right, let's talk about this stimulus move and what we're going to see on the stimulus front today, and this infrastructure package. So today is the day when President Biden is going to meet with leaders in Washington to focus on the $2.3 trillion plan size and taxes. He wants to work with GOP. He wants to work with Republicans. He's going to meet with the top four congressional leaders. So Kevin McCarthy will be there. He's going to meet with Mitch McConnell as well, and Chuck Schumer. And he's going to sit down with Nancy Pelosi. And they're going to try to hash some of this out. He wants to push through $4 trillion in spending for the two proposals.
Well, if he wants to do that,
infrastructure.
If he really actually wants to do that, then why isn't he sitting down with people who actually want to do it? Because you know Schumer and Pelosi don't want that. So why doesn't he sit down with Sanders and people like that? Like, why aren't they included?
Because they're fringe, man. They're the fringe.
Isn't this whole proposal a fringe?
Well, this is him. I think, you know, in my opinion, he's playing good cop, bad cop here. So he gets to pretend like he really wants to have a bipartisan approach. They're going to sit down. McConnell and Republicans are going to say, look, we do not want any tax increases. We are not going to tax wealthy individuals. We are not going to do it. And Biden's going to say, well, we need to pay for it. And it's time that big businesses and rich people pay their fair share, right? That's what we're going to hear. Fair share, fair share. And Republicans are going to say, we just slashed taxes under Trump and look at our economy. Yeah, look at our economy. Look what's happening. Is it low-wage individuals are still getting creamed? CEOs are reaping massive benefits and the little guy is getting squeezed. But McConnell and the fat cats, they're fine.
Well, I guess that's the point.
Sit down with Bernie Sanders. There's sit not down with Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, there's not a single person that's ever invited in there that's for the people, that's actually for the people. So they go in and they negotiate for their donors, both sides. It doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, they are in there negotiating for their donors and for corporations and stuff like that. They do not negotiate for the people. We're the last on their list, and there's nobody in there representing us, including Biden.
Yeah, they don't sit in those meetings, but they do take to Twitter. Bernie Sanders taking to Twitter saying, hey, if you're a billionaire in America today, you probably got a lot richer since the start of the pandemic. Meanwhile, if you're a fast food worker getting paid the federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, you've not seen a pay increase in more than a decade. How absurd is that? Yeah, good point. But Rick Scott of Florida, he thinks that, you know, that most Americans do not support a tax increase, which we now know is a lie. The data overwhelmingly shows that Americans support a tax increase on the wealthy. But Rick Scott says that he's been speaking to his Florida constituents, I'm sure his rich country club friends, who are worried about raising taxes. Here's what he had to say about this.
Two concerns right now. They're concerned about their taxes going up. Joe Biden said he wouldn't raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year. He's already done it. In their so-called COVID bill, they raised the taxes on the gig workers, the Uber drivers, the DoorDash drivers. So he's already broken his promise. If you look at the numbers, if you look at how much money the Biden administration wants to spend this year, what's going to be is everybody's going to see a tax increase. Everybody making less than $500,000 is going to see at least a $1,600 per person tax increase. That's $16,000 over 10 years. So he has already broken his promise, and you cannot pay for all the things he's paying for with just people making over $400,000 a year. He won't focus on being honest with the American public about the taxes they're going to raise. On top of that, he's not being honest about inflation. Inflation is picking up. Look at gas prices, up over 70 cents a gallon since he got elected. Food prices up. Household goods are up. Diapers are up. And he does nothing about it. So Americans are worried their taxes are going to go up, and they're scared to death of what's happening to inflation. This week, we get PPI numbers and CPI numbers. We'll see what's happening with inflation. But it sure appears we're going to have significant inflation because of the Biden spending. As you know, we all talked about this state bailout. California announced their budget surplus before the money we're sending them this week, $78 billion. $78 billion surplus, and we're sending money when we have almost $30 trillion worth of debt. This makes no sense. The Biden agenda is higher taxes, higher inflation, and it's going to be horrible for families all across this country.
And so it's been great right now, I guess, right? Like everyone's doing great. Well, what we're talking about specifically is the stimulus. And we now know that the stimulus worked. Again, we have more data this morning as to how well the stimulus. Hunger rates plummeting after the first two rounds of stimulus. Republicans have long sought to shrink government aid, but Democrats see the data as proof that the direct payments are working as intended. Percentage of Americans struggling with hunger is now at its lowest level since the pandemic began. So this aid from Washington is making a significant difference to families struggling economically. This is from the U.S. Census Bureau.
Are we talking about the $300 extra in unemployment benefits? Because surely they're not still talking about the one-time checks. Because, I mean, how would three checks do that?
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's all of it. It's, you know, it's the increase to government aid programs like food stamps. But it's the money that was given out in stimulus checks. It's the enhanced unemployment benefits. All of it. But you guys are just too lazy to go back to work. It's what Republicans keep saying. Ron DeSantis of Florida saying, you know what, we're ending this program. You got to get, just got to take a job. Even if it's a crappy job that pays nothing and the conditions are awful.
But I want to know, like, from people in chat, like, do you feel like you've been relieved with like that article? I don't know. Just from what I see in this chat and people talking about this stuff, it doesn't seem to me like that has gone down. I mean, I'd love to see where they're getting that data, because it I don't think it just doesn't feel accurate.
Well, I think what the article is saying is, and we saw this in other data from the U.S. Census Bureau, which is that they're just saying the overall rate of hunger has dropped. Hunger rates, like the like food insecurity has dropped as a result of these rounds, most recent rounds of stimulus.
For who, though? So, I mean, well, so are we just talking specifically
food
stamps?
It's down 11%. Well, yeah, we're just specifically talking people getting food on their table.
Gotcha. Because I think there's a lot of people that are on unemployment and stuff that probably don't qualify for food stamps, right? So just in the sector of food stamp recipients, we're seeing that percentage go down, or overall?
Overall, the adults living in households that sometimes or often did not have enough to eat, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, data released this month, dropped 8% from late last month, down from 11% in March. So I don't know if they've split it so, you know, deeply that they could say, hey, these are people that aren't on food stamps but are just receiving unemployment benefits, or just people who are receiving food stamp programs, a SNAP program. She's been trapped. So here, Diane Withamer Sachsenbach is an economist, says money helps. She's been tracking these hunger rates closely through the pandemic from Northwestern University. We're continuing to see signs of progress. That's exciting. That's good news. The rate of American adults in households struggling with food is now down more than 40% since its peak in December.
See, I don't buy that.
So they're saying.
That's just so hard for me to buy when I see people in this chat, you know, like it's like this is a small percentage of America, but this is also, you know, like if you see one person saying something, you can guarantee that there's going to be a lot more people saying that, and people in here are saying that it has not helped them. Like I totally would agree if this was a UBI, like something that was ongoing, but to suggest that three checks and a $300 unemployment has wiped out 40% of that just does not seem, it just doesn't add up to me. I don't know.
Well, yeah, see if we can put some of these up on the screen. Tallulah Tuala Pham says, without the increase in food stamps, we would be starving with all the increases in food prices. Wayne Lewis. Yeah, and see, we're not, again, I don't want to conflate two different points here. This story specifically talking about food insecurity and hunger. I'm getting food on the table. I'm not talking about, like, did you get a job? This is what this piece is talking about. I saw this, and this is what this census data is showing us. So we see people saying, yes, I was without the increase in food stamps. We would be starving with all the increases in prices. Yeah, you talk about Nicole Spann says $300 hardly covers my bills. I agree. food and money for food banks also, I guess. H. Marie Brown says it helped some. Derek Ead says, yeah, I agree, David. I guess what I'm saying is I'm specifically trying to talk about the hunger thing. All I'm saying is that, you know, if Republicans want to reduce food stamp money, like, now is not the time. You know, like, this needs to be, I think, a permanent solution, permanently making sure that this money stays there and is not reduced. Bernadette Coates says companies are taking advantage of the situation. Art Sullivan says we don't want to beg. We want to work and make a living. April, just a moment. I don't have enough to eat. I get $77 a month. They can actually lower my food stamps from $120 to $77. I make $845 a month in disability for MS and chronic blood disorder, and they've went down, and I've gone down in weight now. That's unbelievable, April. So apparently this is not affecting April, but, you know, according to the census data, overall it is.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, it's like when you get the census data, and the problem I have with all these polls is we don't know where they're getting this data. And it's like, it just feels like propaganda in a way, because it's trying to make people think that everything is fine, but they're not seeing the real people that are in this chat, that are out here trying to survive, that are not fitting that message. So it's just hard for me to buy into after seeing people talking in here. And this is just a small number, but were any of these people polled? Like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't know where this data ever comes from. That's why I just really don't like polls and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this was a poll. I mean, this is census. I would like to know where the Census Bureau gets the data, though, right? It's been a biweekly survey. They ask Americans on a variety of issues, including household debt, missed rent payments, and whether they recently went to a food bank.
Right, but they're not talking to people that have their phone cut. They're not talking to people who have their internet cut. Like, who are they talking to? They're talking to people who still have these services.
Right.
It's always the people that are hurting the most that don't. They're never going to be in this data, because how would they be? You've got people that are living in their cars. Are you polling them? You got 20 million people facing homelessness.
Well, you bring up a great point, which is, I think sometimes what I see in this is, like, this is good news. And you could look at it two ways, right? You could say, hey, don't cut food stamp programs. Don't pull back on aid right now, like unemployment benefits, like so many Republicans are trying to do right now, which is remove, you know, Florida, Ron DeSantis is trying to get rid of unemployment benefits. You have a number of Republican governors that are saying we're going to eliminate these programs. Unemployment benefits. We just want you to go back to work at these crappy jobs and make starvation wages. Right? That's one way to look at it.
The thing is, like, what really...
And the other way to...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the other way to look at it is to say, let's not get complacent here. Like, okay, maybe this is some good data, perhaps, but are you trying to say, Politico and other news organizations, that, good, things are fine now, no need to... We can cut off this spigot, no need to keep helping people... Didn't you see that Politico report about hunger dropping? Good. We're all good now.
Yeah. So
I think there's two ways to look at this.
What really pisses me off is it's like they try to do the bare minimum to shut us up. Basically, all they try to do with these articles, with these polls, with this data, and with what they passed legislation-wise is to just shut us up. Like, what can we do? What's the minimum we can do to keep our donors happy and shut these people up so they quit complaining? That's basically all we ever get. And that's why it frustrates me to see this stuff, because we see people here every single day that are not represented in that article.
Yeah, for sure. Every day when people are like, for instance, I got an email this morning from a viewer, or it was one of our viewers sent a message before the show, James Figueroa. It's like, look, when are we going to get these unemployment benefits that we were taxed on? When is this refund coming from the IRS? And, you know, I reached out to the IRS to get an answer, and I still haven't gotten one. And all we know from them publicly is that they're sending them in May. May. Okay, it's May. Did you get yours yet? And they're going to continue through the summer. So these 7.3 million who got unemployment checks, could you get a $10,200 tax break? Yes. And you're still waiting on these things. The IRS started shipping these things out in May, and they say they could continue through the summer. Why does it take so long? Like, these people need this money. They were unemployed and they paid their taxes, and it's taking you for, but you can get money out to big businesses on Wall Street in a split second. The Fed can pump trillions of dollars to them in a split second. But when it comes to you, this is what happens. And, you know, so you're going to, this unemployment thing, you're hearing more and more and more about it, right? That you guys should just get back to work, take a crappy job, you know, take a really low paying starvation wage job and just shut up. That's what they want you to do. That's what they want you to do.
If they were doing some sort of UBI and they kept the unemployment thing up to $600 a week, then I would be more apt to believe that article. You know what I mean? Because we saw what happened to the economy when the first round of checks and that $600 a week in unemployment was going on. The economy was flourishing. It was amazing. And then they take that away.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all the data they need. Why do they need to keep doing this, asking these questions? The data shows that when they did that, the $600 plus the checks, that's when the economy, that's when we actually got help. That's when they stepped up for us.
Right. And how many businesses were able to stay open as a result of that? People bought things. People bought groceries for their family. People put food on the table. $600 a week. And so you're hearing now, I mean, I watched Larry Kudlow last night say, you know, this unemployment benefit is keeping people out of jobs. This is keeping people from working. And you know what? And what they're complaining about, of course, is it's hurting these big low wage paying businesses. That's basically what they're saying, but they won't say it out loud. Like Larry Kudlow won't actually admit that the issue is, of course, that, you know, McDonald's or these other corporations that are paying really low wages are being hurt. Their bottom line is being hurt because people don't want to work in those conditions. And it's hurting Wall Street investors. It's hurting shareholders. That's why they're complaining about it. Make no mistake about it. That's why they're complaining about it. And so, I mean, here's what Elizabeth Warren says. Hey, Jeff Bezos, he's gotten over $700 billion richer since the pandemic started.
70.
He just bought a super yacht that is longer than the Statue of Liberty is tall. It's time for a wealth tax in America. Jeff Bezos' super yacht is so big, it needs its own yacht. And they really can't pay additional wages. And yesterday, well, I want to make a correction. I featured this, which is back in March of, or May of last year, when Amazon dropped its $2 pay raise. So this was 2020. Nevertheless, still, they did it. Doesn't matter if it was this year or last year. In addition to which, they're fighting tooth and nail to make sure that people can't unionize and get better wages and better job security and better and upward mobility and protections and better wages and better working conditions all over the place.
See, this is why my whole thinking is that there should be a maximum wage and a percentage that they can claim as profit, and the rest needs to go down to employees. Because the thing is, there's no reason a company like Apple or whatever should have $1 trillion profit. There's no reason for these companies to have this kind of profit. That it does nothing. They don't put it back into the economy. It just sits there. It is sitting there in their savings accounts, you know, in all their assets, their big yachts, their houses, and all this other stuff. Meanwhile, we could be using that money. So I've argued, like, why not a maximum wage on these people and then make it so you can claim, you know, 50% profits, but the rest of the 50% has to go down to your employees in the way of bonuses and stuff like that.
Well, like Dan Price did, right? Dan Price, of course, the guy at his company who said he was going to set a minimum salary of $70,000. He was going to lower the executive pay. And he's like, look, I was failing as a leader. And now he's like, you know, we call them like low skilled workers. He's like, they're not low skilled. They're low wage. Because you're not paying them a living wage, not low skilled. They're low wage.
Well, and think about it. If you pay somebody a better wage, they'll work their ass off to become more skilled.
Right. And they'll move up, like we saw with Chipotle making an announcement yesterday that they're going to hire 20,000 people. They're going to increase the overall wages. They're going to make upward mobility so you could reach a general manager position in 3.5 years and make $100,000. Great. Can we have more companies start to do that? Look at this. The Tax Policy Institute for Policy Studies released this today. During the pandemic, 51 of the country's 100 largest low-wage employers bent their own rules to give CEOs raises. Among these 51 companies, Hilton, Gap, Coca-Cola, Chipotle, oh, there you go, Chipotle, CEO worker pay ratios averaged 830-1. Think that's fair?
And why? It's like, it's so funny. It's so funny that these CEOs get rewarded for what they're doing, but who's actually doing the work? It's the freaking workers. It's the people that are in the company doing the hard work, yet the CEO gets all the praise, and it's like, it wouldn't happen if it wasn't for me and my leadership. That's a crock. They may have some good leadership skills, but it's the bottom half people that are doing all the work and making you that money. And it's like, they don't see that. Like, how can they not see that?
They laid people off and they made all this money. So they made millions of dollars, 830-1. Dozens of the largest low-wage employers in the United States manipulated their own rules during the pandemic to hand wealthy CEOs substantial raises, while their vulnerable frontline workers struggled to get by with inadequate paychecks, meager benefits, and the flimsy on-job protections. 51 of the nation's 100 biggest low-wage employers used numerous tactics to boost executive pay in 2020. While their own workers, few safeguards against the pandemic and resulting economic meltdown.
How could you walk through
manipulations?
How could you walk through your company and face people that you're making that much more than? Like, how could you do it? I bet those people never even talk to those people.
Yeah, I mean, that's why a show like Undercover Boss is so compelling, right? Because you never meet these people, right? You never meet the garbage workers who are handling the trucks that make you millions of dollars for your waste management company, you know, where they have to work two jobs in order to make ends meet because you pay so low. And yet you can sit in your million-dollar yacht or multi-million-dollar yacht that's larger than, you know, larger than the Statue of Liberty. Some did offer frontline employees paid leave and a small pay increase during the pandemic, usually around $2.
Oh, that's so nice.
Elizabeth Warren thinks it's time to stop making excuses for these billionaires.
That's right. They haven't, but here's what started to change. And that is, it used to be the case that the Republicans could say they're going to raise taxes and it would cause this ripple of anxiety all across Washington and throughout much of the nation. Not anymore. Today, the wealth tax, a tax on families that have more than $50 million in wealth. I've proposed a 2-cent tax on their wealth, a little bit more than that if they have billions in assets. That tax is popular across this country, popular with Democrats, popular with Republicans, popular with independents. Americans look around and they say, wait a minute, the 99% in this country, they paid last year about 3.2% of their total 7.2% of their total wealth in taxes. But that top 0.1%, they paid only 3.2% of their total wealth, less than half as much. I think Americans have had it with the Republicans on taxes. The tax cuts that went to the billionaires, and now just understanding this system is not working. It's a rigged system that works for those at the top.
Yep. It's exactly what it is. So what I try to do with this show is to help you navigate that. You know, how can you protect yourself right now? How can you, if you, you know, get some of this money out of that system so that these fat cats aren't making money off of your money? How can you navigate the, you know, this corruption? And, you know, one of the things that we've got to do is make sure we get leaders in there who are willing to fight to put in place, you know, these types of child tax credits that are permanent, these types of tax increases on the wealthy so they are paying their fair share. The fact that Amazon can pay nothing in taxes and Bezos can buy a super yacht while employees are having to go to the bathroom in bottles.
Well, and let's not even,
disgusting.
Let's not forget the companies that that are in that same situation making those profits, and then they take some of our money and subsidize them for whatever reason or bail them out.
Mm-hmm.
When they make a mistake,
right. I mean,
you guys made some bad purchases or that whole derivatives thing. But we're going to help you. We're going to bail you out with the people's money. Just don't do it again now. Okay. And then they gave themselves all bonuses.
Exactly.
And
yeah, look at this. This is corporate debt. This is the non-financial corporate business debt right now. Look at that spike. And that's even higher now. This is a chart from a little while ago, but it's just skyrocketing. And what does this mean? This means that these companies are continuing to borrow basically interest-free money from the federal government and buy back shares of their company, but not hire people. No. Not reinvest in research and development. No. They're giving their, by the way, we know now a number of these companies have given their CEOs bonuses and filed for these PPP loans. They give $1 million bonuses while you're out there struggling.
And that's what I think a lot of people don't understand is when they say that they're taking federal loans at no interest, that's like they are actually coming to your house and they're saying, hey, can you give us a dollar? We're going to go give it to this company. And you have no choice. You have to give it to them. They are taking money out of your pocket and they are handing to these companies that are already having record profits that are not passing the money back down into the economy. They're hoarding it, but that is still coming from your pocket.
Exactly. So you want to tell me, like, why does a company like Facebook need to borrow billions of dollars right now from the federal government? Why? They are. Why? They just had record profits.
They probably want to buy Snapchat or something.
Yeah. So they can continue to buy, you know, at 0% interest virtually. They can just borrow as much money as they want. And how difficult has it been for these small businesses to get these loans or people to get rental assistance? You know, navigate the rental assistance program has been an absolute nightmare.
Over 100,000 small businesses went out of business during the pandemic because they didn't get any access to any of these non-interest loans. They didn't get any help. They didn't get any UBI. They got nothing. Yet these companies that are showing record profits can just say, I just need $1 billion. I just need this.
Yeah.
0%.
And all these unemployed Americans thought they'd receive these benefits until September, right? A lot of these unemployment benefits. Now, a number of states are saying, well, because Republicans are saying that's a labor shortage. It's causing a labor shortage. We're going to get rid of these benefits. These are the, you know, this is the face of people who are receiving those benefits and taking care of their families right now. They don't have child care. Justin Mackey, this guy, worked to rebuild his locksmith business. He was 38. He was relying on that $420 a week and unemployment check for another 4 months to rebuild his business. You're just making too much money, Justin. You're making too much money. Let's shut him down. Because people like this, you know, have to buy their super yachts.
Yeah, it's like, why?
Like, we're sitting in the... we got a reckoning coming. I mean, you feel it, don't you?
We have to. I mean, the thing is, like, you have, like I said, 100,000 small businesses. Why are they so less important to this economy than these big corporations? If they would take and the subsidies alone that they give to the oil and gas industry, the car industry, and all these subsidies, and would have put that into these small businesses, you know, I mean, what happened to these small businesses are the reason Bezos is buying that. He wants those small businesses out of business. Walmart wants those small businesses out of business. You know why? Because it's their competition. So now their profits are going to skyrocket because they just killed a bunch of their competition during this pandemic. And those people got zero help.
Zero help. Raising CEOs' pay? No problem. Raising minimum wage? Inflation. Socialism. Ragnarok. We couldn't possibly raise the minimum wage. It's socialism. It's going to cause inflation. When you listen to Rick Scott say, all of this inflation is Biden's fault. Yeah. Okay. He's been president for 100 days. You think that, by the way, the Fed is extra governmental. It's not run by Biden. The Fed is its own entity. The Fed is not appointed. It's not elected. The Fed, as Ron Paul likes to say, we need to end the Fed.
That's what I was going to
say. How do you have this unbelievable authority?
This began in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created. That's when this moment was a possibility. So this has been building up through every presidency.
So, you know, we're crying right now about like an inheritance tax is going to be possibly be coming back for these millionaires and billionaires. And Republicans are saying, don't do it. Don't do it. These levies on inherited wealth dropped sharply in the 1970s. And it's only 5% of the tax revenues. Say, with the richest 20% of households receiving gifts and inheritance, close to 50 times higher than the poorest 20%. So should we revisit the tax on gifts and end-of-life bequests to family members? And this huge wealth income distribution, this huge wealth disparity right now? What do you think in the chat? Should this massive inheritance tax make it way back? But, you know, Elizabeth Warren's right. She's right now, most Americans support raising taxes on the wealthy, over like 70%. It's popular. So when these white old guys go out there and start saying, hey, we can't raise taxes, it's going to hurt our economy. I got news for you. Look what's already happening. This trickle-down economy did not work. The disparity has grown even wider since 2017 when you put in these wealthy tax cuts. Massive income inequality in this country. Totally separate. Unbelievable. Here's Goldman Sachs director reportedly quits after striking it rich with Dogecoin. Just goes to show you, like, Goldman Sachs, you know, people on Wall Street. Real money's in the people's currency right now. So this guy quits. He makes a fortune off of Dogecoin. I'm going to show you some trades I'm making here in a moment. You can keep your eye on certain charts so you can make some money. Set some alerts. Learn some charts. I'm going to show you some coins that I'm keeping my eye on today in order to trade. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Sunday. You guys know what Sunday is. I hope you do. If you don't by now, these guys are awesome. Look at that little puppy, by the way. So you want to use organic. You want to use non-toxic to make your yard look beautiful. We had a neighbor when we were in New Jersey who they had put fertilizer down in their yard and the dog had died. And they said, we will never use that stuff again. The stuff you buy at the big box stores where no one knows what your yard is like and they just give you all this chemical-filled stuff. Don't do that. So with Sunday, they actually use the best natural products for your yard. And by the way, see right there on the homepage, you go there, you type in your address, and it'll find your lawn plan based on your like neighborhood. I mean, it knows like how much silt you have in your yard. It knows based on your exact neighborhood and your house. It's actually kind of funny when you click on it and you see your house pop up there on the Google Earth image, and it shows you exactly what type. Do you have a clay soil, sandy soil? You pick your plan. Shipped right to your door. And the best part is you're going to get $20 off your custom lawn plan when you go to getsunday.com/invest. Getsunday.com/invest. You know, you'll have the peace of mind knowing that, you know, you've got a little dog that plays in the yard, cat, whatever. It's not going to get sick. It's going to be taken care of. You get all of your weeds under control, whether it's what, you know, pest control, you want seeds, anything like that. You can do all of that. And the free lawn analysis is really one of, even if you just go look at your free lawn analysis and you don't even do anything, just go check it out. So go to Get Sunday. You have to put the GET in front of it. GetSunday.com/invest. You'll get your tailored nutrient plan for your house so that you do not get toxic chemicals in the ground. Check them out. All right, here are a couple coins I'm taking an eye on today. And I was warning you last night in my trading channel on Telegram. You know, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a, you know, I'm not a lawyer, a certified public accountant. But I kind of post in there like what I'm looking at. So if you want to follow our Telegram channel, it's totally free. Just got to get Telegram, the app, on your smartphone. It's just like using WhatsApp. So we created a Morning Invest channel on there. If you go to morninginvest.com/telegram, I can kind of post up to the minute things. So you'll see different trades I'm making and things that I'm following, different economic information that I see, whether it's stimulus updates and things like that as well. I'm going to be posting in there just because it's up to the second, actually. I can get it to you as soon as I see it. Like last night, I warned you about Shiba. I don't know how many of you saw that. I was warning you, hey, it's about to break down or up one way or the other. And sure enough, it did. Any super chats that I can answer while we're looking at charts here?
We have Saab Dez, Terry Pleasant, Tiandra Johnson, John Paul Pacheco, Jen Vinci, Teresa C., Tracy Reed, Jacqueline R., Makiba Anderson, and new members. Welcome. We got 14 new members today. Can you explain the difference between market buy and limit buy? I'm a little confused with the lingo on Webull and for trading in general.
Sure. So a market buy is you're just literally buying now. And actually, typically, you'll end up paying some more fees on a market buy because you're basically like demanding it. It's like you're going into a store and you're like, I want to buy that right now. And so, you know, and then that exchange is basically allowing you to buy it right now. What's the market price? Give it to me. What's the market price for that fish? Great. Give it to me. Okay. How about in a limit? Hey, I go into the market and I see that fish and boy, that's a little pricey. $20 for that fish per kilo, whatever. You know what? I'm going to wait till this drops to $19. So I'm going to put an order in for $19. Like if your price drops to 19, you got it.
Let's see. Barbara, wait, can you announce the date for the Bybit tutorial in advance so we can get set up?
Yes, I have a big webinar that I'm putting together right now for real estate. So it's probably something I'm going to be able to tackle this weekend. So I will put that full Bybit tutorial. I'm going to try. It's probably going to be about you guys okay with that? If it's like a 40-minute video, but it's going to be dense. I'm going to show you from the beginning how to set it up, how to use it. I'll show you different patterns.
If it helped me understand this all, I'd watch 2 hours. I wouldn't care. There's a pause button.
Exactly. You can go pee if you need to, you know? And hey, if it can make you thousands of dollars, that's the goal here.
Exactly.
I want to help you guys make money.
Ruben Delgado, I don't mean to offend you guys, but have you considered having a portion of the show where you and David chat? It would cut out latency interruption. The only thing is, like, I try to interject with, like, relevant to the story, so we'd have to stop and do that. But, like, even if we did a chat, there's still latency. It's like 300 or so milliseconds, so it's just enough to sound like we're interrupting each other but it's not as bad as I've seen on some news shows.
Yeah.
Oh, toy review.
The only way we could really do that is if like David moved in with me or something, you know?
Yeah. Which is,
like, I was thinking about that. I was going to ask you that. Would you think you would want to do that? Like you guys move here and we do the show live together every day.
Yeah. That's what we'd already talked about that. I would rent out the Spire.
Yeah. Yeah. You could rent out the office Spire up there and, I'll bring you some bread.
Nice.
And a pillow.
That's all I need.
Grover will come up.
But not a bread pillow, though, right?
Actually, that'd be delicious. A bread pillow. You know, like, hey, we have bread soup bowls now. You can, like at Panera, you know, like a big sour. A bread pillow would be fantastic. Like in the middle of the night, you're just like.
If I could get a new one every day, that would be fine. With butter.
Oh.
Oh, toy review?
No, you only get one once a week.
Oh, okay. Well,
and it gets progressively harder. It gets progressively firmer as the week goes on.
By the end of the week, I'm not sleeping. People are like, dude, you look, your eyes are all bloodshot. Yeah, my pillow's too hard.
Yeah. My moldy bread pillow. What is wrong with you?
Toy review. CEOs could afford to take the inflation hit, but pass it to consumers. Makes me sick. Their lifestyle wouldn't suffer at all. No, it wouldn't. We already saw that. That you talked about.
Right. Yeah, Bezos could take his support yacht that helps his main yacht. It's a modest 100-foot schooner.
Long live freedom. Can't sign up for Bybit. I'm currently located in New York. Do I need a VPN? Yes, you do. And then I know not a financial advisor, but would profits from coins be taxable in New York State?
I can't speak to your state law. You'd be paying it on your income tax. So it's income. I mean, it's treated as capital gains. It's, you know, like selling property. It's the same way. It's a taxable event. You have to report it. If you don't report it, it's a felony. It's not even like a slap on the wrist. It's a felony. Like, it's a don't pass go, go directly to jail. Like, if you sell a house and don't report that you sold the house, felony. And that you made money, felony. So don't make that mistake. Get a good tax team. Make sure you're protected.
Durant Stenson, what do you think about the altcoin Algorand?
Algorand is great. I own a bunch of Algorand, and it's good. I think you get a 6% return staking it. So I have some Algorand staked right now. I think it's a really good coin. Let's take a look where it is on the charts, by the way. Algorand.
While you do that,
Algo is
Luis Palacio, I think, is very helpful, but sometimes too much at once. Definitely the webinar will help us to understand in detail about it. Thanks, Clayton.
You are welcome. By the way, if you haven't watched it yet, check out my full interview. How many of you watching right now watched my full interview with Michael Saylor, Bitcoin billionaire? He, of course, owns 2.5 billion Bitcoin, and he's the one that told Elon Musk to convert Tesla dollars into Bitcoin dollars, and he did. He's a brilliant, brilliant businessman. If you haven't watched that full interview, please watch it. It's here on the channel, and I'll link it up here. We'll put a card up here later in the replay. You can click that and watch it. I think you'll learn a lot about the philosophy of currency and why Bitcoin is, in his opinion, the ultimate store of value beyond the US dollar, and what we're seeing, what's happening right now, play out today, which is, all this inflation news today, this inflation surge, it's only going to get worse, folks. And so if you've got your money in the US dollar, you really need to think twice about that. Inflation speeding up right now as consumer prices leap 4.2%. It's the fastest since 2008. And you know what happened in 2008. So heed my cautionary tale warnings right now. Please be careful. Big issue. We got a couple thousand people watching right now. Please protect yourselves. Please, please, please protect yourselves.
We got two more super chats. Crystal Dragon. I love watching you guys. When would you sell on Coinbase? I only bought $50.
Of the stock Coinbase? Personally, I am holding Coinbase stock and I don't plan to sell it for a while. Because there's a bunch of Coinbase news. We're waiting on Coinbase earnings, I think today or tomorrow. So Coinbase, we're going to get a sense of like how Coinbase now as a public company is doing after they've been public now for about a month. So we get Coinbase earnings, I think today or tomorrow, and we'll get a real sense of new signups, how much revenue, all of that. So I'm going to wait because I think it's going to pop. I think it's going to go to the moon. So we'll see. And then you might want to scrape some profits out. Thanks, everyone, for a great show. Great time tuning in with all of you. I really enjoy it. And I love to be able to dive through the day's news. Hopefully you feel a little bit more enlightened and tuned with what's going on in the world of finance, politics, and business. And hopefully you guys can start building some wealth outside of this corrupt system. So read some books. Check out that Bitcoin Standard book. read that technical analysis book that I also told you about here. Look, I love in my look in my my iBooks. These are all books I read to my kids, like on my iPad. You want to read some Pete the Cat? Did you ever read Encyclopedia Brown growing up? I love these, so I read these to my son a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
Here's a great book. Have you ever read my book?
How to pay off your mortgage? In 5 years. Oh,
how to pay off your mortgage?
Okay, how to off your mortgage?
It's the book that Natalie and I wrote. Pay off your mortgage. It's crazy writing a book.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
And then I did the Audible version of it too, the audio version. So, anyway, all right, enough about that. Much love to all of you. Have a great day. Hope you guys get to do some fun stuff today, and we'll be back. I'll have a video later today. I'm going to be talking about Ethereum later today. So be sure you're subscribed to the channel. Subscribe to the channel. Oh, and we have our daily newsletter. Are all of you who watch our channel right now, I don't know if you guys, let me know, did you turn off the members only? I want to make sure that we have our daily newsletter. We publish it every day, delivered right to your inbox. Just go to morninginvest.com. You can sign up for free, and you'll get a little welcome email. When you get it, shoot me an email back because I send it to you. So, and just say, hey, Clayton, I got the welcome email. If you're not already a subscriber, here's where you go. Just go to morninginvest.com, join the mailing list. We publish a newsletter, really nice. You can read about 5 minutes every day over your cup of coffee. Here are some of the articles we write about, like, what's going on in the post office, what happens with Tesla, et cetera. Just put in your email address, hit subscribe. You'll receive a welcome email, and just shoot me back and say, hey, I got it. And then you'll get the newsletter tomorrow morning. We publish it at about 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern time. All right, everyone. I'm losing my voice. I need to take a nap. I love you guys. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Take care.